When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. We the real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all. I just told you who I thought I was. A guy.
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish.
Boom, 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 boom. When you say you love me, it doesn't matter. It comes into my head as just chit-chatted. You may take this egotistical or just worry-free, but what you say, I take none of it seriously. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you so. I let you pretend to read me, and then you'll know, because I hate the one attempts to analyze the fact that I despise who even try to look into my eyes and see what I am thinking. That dream is over. You gotta sink in. I tell all of you like I tell all of them. What you see to me is just paper thin. Word.
Oh, what up, everybody? This is a new episode of the Bookie A Podcast. I'm Chris Daniels.
I'm Rob Hayes.
And we back with just two of us. No guests this week. I feel like we got too much news to catch up on.
Who wrote that verse? Where'd that verse come from?
I don't know. I was like half listening.
Come on, man.
What?
Come on, man. Who was I spitting, man?
I already told y'all. No, who was it?
It was MC Light.
Oh, Charles Hamilton's cousin. Was it his aunt?
Are you serious?
I know who MC Light is.
Why would you reference anybody through Charles Hamilton, the MC who's known for getting slapped by his girlfriend after a freestyle?
He's known for a bunch of things, but I was like, well, a little tidbit of information that God I found me. Out
he's
when I got introduced
nerd
to
nerd out everything.
That's Charles how is that a nerd out?
Because he's
they're
the,
related.
He's a geek.
So
he's such a
look,
dork,
man. I'm trying to put focus on mental health, and you over here just dissing the man, Charles Hamilton.
What does mental health got to do with? He was with Wale and, you know, Asheroth.
Cudi.
And Cudi and Drake, like, and Cole, all of them, like, he's in their class. And he's definitely the one that blew his shot.
Yo, yeah, I'm not disputing that.
Take it from somebody who was like,
this Sonic dude is going to be the guy.
No, nobody.
All the rings, bring, and it's all gone.
We don't have Sega systems anymore.
Oh, man.
Jeez. Those are the times. You know what's so funny is from that era, just people would ride out for certain people, and then some people would miss certain people. Like, I was late on Cole and Drake. Mm-hmm. Because I was busy listening to Wale, Big Sean, Currency, and like...
Those aren't really misses, though.
Wiz. No, those aren't misses, but that was like... But I meet people who are in that same mode, you know, maybe focus on Chip the Rip.
Yeah.
Beam Me Up, Scotty was out around that time.
You ever run into a Chester French fan?
No.
There were very few of them, but people thought like this could be the new sound, and it just dissipated.
I knew people who thought Mickey Fax was gonna
yes,
do it.
Yes, Mickey Fax is a
yeah.
Oh man, it looked like the Urkel doll.
Oh man, Mickey Fax. But then I heard stories of Mickey Fax being difficult to work with.
I think I remember hearing that too.
Oh, and who were the dudes from Harvard? They were jerks. Like when the Cool Kids was out, it was
Oh, what were their names?
I think I know who you're talking about from the Harvard reference, but I don't remember the name.
Oh, man.
Somebody will tell us. Somebody tell us on Twitter. If you know who we're talking about.
You know who we're talking about. But yeah, man.
What are we talking about today?
Shoot, man. First of all, we got to show love to the Queen of Soul.
Yes. You know? Rest in peace, Miss Aretha Franklin.
Without Aretha Franklin, we wouldn't have so many of our favorite Kanye songs, you know. But just a staple just in American history. Even beyond just like celebrating a soul artist. You know, I remember growing up in school, we'd have the ABCs of Black History, and A would always be Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
B would be Benjamin Banneker. C would be George Washington Carver. I don't think we ever made it. Like, we were going to do ABC every day. And then, like, after a while, we'd be like, what happened to the ABCs? Like, shut up, okay? Yeah, we never made. But we always learned about Aretha Franklin because she was first, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, in Detroit, Aretha was fucking everywhere.
Whoa. Oh.
She was. Sorry. She would get mad if I swear just out. But she was, every school. She was. Her church was literally like a 15-minute walk from my house. My family went to Tabernacle, but her church was New Bethel. And my grandma, I had one of those grandmas who was like at church like every day. So she was at her church, at that same church half the time. So every once in a while you would go, you was like, she would be there if ever she was around, she was in town, she would be at that church.
Is that a different church from where she like grew up? Or is that the same church from like, cause she started singing in the church, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the same. I mean, that church has been around, if I'm not mistaken, has been around since the 40s.
Wow.
So the 40s or 30s. So it very well could be. But growing up, I remember like that was the church. And I think that's where they did a lot of recent stuff still.
I remember growing up listening to a lot of Aretha Franklin music. That's one of my mother's favorite artists. And so like we would definitely hear all the old, you know, if you want to do right all night, woman, you got to be a do right all night man. You know what I'm saying? We say a little prayer for you and, you know, respect, which is a song that, you know, it's like when you look at periods like that, like we talk about on this podcast all the time, songs being reflective of what's going on at the time. And I feel like respect is one of those songs that like in the context of the music. You know, this is a different time period where violence is, you know, kind of not talked about and, you know, disrespect of women is not really talked about. And, you know, it's a powerful song in the context of its lyrics. But then when you take it to a deeper context, what's going on with Black people in our country at that time and civil rights and everything, the message of R-E-S-P-E-C-T is very important. And very sad that Al Sharpton don't know how to spell. how do you mess that up when that it's the song?
Oh, man.
Did you see that?
I did not see it. But
yeah, Al Sharpton was on some show and he was like, and like my sister, my fallen sister Aretha Franklin said,
no,
we need some R-E-S-P-I-C-T. No. I was like, what the hell? Well, come on, Al. Get the weight bag or something if you're going to be messing up like this.
He was about to say reciprocity. He fucked it up.
I don't know what he was trying to say. Shout out to Lauryn Hill for teaching me about reciprocity. But if you don't know how to spell respect and you from the Aretha Franklin era, what are you doing?
I don't know.
And then if you listen to her music, I feel like her music in the 70s, she just like broadens her horizons. There's so much there. There's so many like, Rock Steady is a dope song. You wouldn't have I'm Housing by EPMD if it wasn't for Rock Steady. You know, you got the songs Kanye sampled for School Spirit. But then also she goes into blues. She goes into like opera. She goes into all kind of stuff. Like Aretha Franklin was just like one of those voices. She could do any genre of music. It didn't matter. Like,
yeah,
you know, spans the globe. She'll definitely be missed. Definitely the queen of
I don't think anybody's gonna match that range.
Yeah.
I don't know. If anybody else did a deep dive like I did and just like, okay, let me see how much content. Like all the last like few days is heavy Aretha, and you're just like, man, this is like this is like bigger than a catalog, because none of it
is
like,
bigger than a catalog.
It does. If you want to go somewhere that don't sound the same and still sounds amazing, mm-hmm. and like this could be like the top of whatever genre this is, that was Aretha Franklin.
Yeah. And, you know, the last thing we would want to do is reduce her to just the Blues Brothers, or reduce her to just, you know, a scene from The Fresh Prince, or reduce her to just A Different World. You know, she did so much. So definitely use your internets, use your Googles, use your Wikipedias, use your streaming services, and get into, you know, all the different stuff that Aretha Franklin
and
did.
And clean your house to Aretha Franklin. It will be cleaner than it's ever been.
That's very true. And nobody ever cursed out a man like that on the top of a song before, you know. You're no good heartbreaker. You're a lie and you're a cheat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, first thing she said off top, come on, man.
The best.
And it's just weird timing, because Nicki Minaj was kind of like taking shots. Like, you know what I'm saying? When she broke her record, she wasn't like very graceful about it.
No.
And
she ain't been graceful for a while.
And it's in the age of streaming, you know? And it's if you're a Nicki Minaj fan, like I, you know, when Nicki Minaj came out, I used to go hard for Nicki Minaj because I felt like she got it off merit. You know, she would do things to put her in position of just like, I am getting this based off of MCing, based off of rapping.
She's like, I'll be next to people and be just as good or better.
Yeah, Lil Wayne saw a rap video that I, you know, did myself and signed me off of that. And then she had a moment on the Dedication 3, and she had a moment with Gucci Mane, and then she had Beat Me Up Scotty, and then she had Massive Attack, and then she had Monster, and then she had her album. Like, everything was based off of good work, and I thought that that was respectable. And I feel like what's going on now with her is like almost the opposite.
I mean, put it like this. I feel like everybody's talking, like there's way more people talking about Nicki than there are actually listening to the music, or just talking about the music in general,
mm-hmm.
which is strange to me, because the whole thing, the main like underlying like argument that I feel like she's trying to come across is, yo, I am upper echelon. I am just as talented as all these people who you try to compare me to. I'm better than most of these people. But everything else is taking press. Like, I feel like all this extra stuff is just, you know, it's just making too much noise.
And it's like, what is all this anti-Cardi coming from? Cardi didn't come for you. Cardi just came out and had a great year. You know who came for you? Remy came for you.
Yeah.
And you got something to say about everybody but Remy. You got something to say about Safari, DJ Self.
It's all people who kind of got, like, in a way, something more to lose. Like, who were, like, they probably not in position to be, like, so ruthless. Like, or maybe they don't want to take anything and spotlight from themselves and put it too much on Nicki. You know, they don't want to share. Like, Cardi has no reason to really do much because, like, she's already on top.
Yeah.
There's no reason to, like, to respond in any kind of way, really.
But it was really Nicki Minaj's own insecurity that caused them to be pitted against each other. If she would have just embraced Cardi, or been like, you know, it's apples and oranges, we don't do the same thing, then, you know, it wouldn't be such a, like, you know, every time you hear Nicki, you gotta like compare her to Cardi. Anytime Cardi does something, you gotta compare it to Nicki. It shouldn't be like that.
But you know what I think? I feel like, and I only take this from, like, if you look at like Nicki's like Twitter feed, I feel like she gets a lot of like fans and stands on her shoulder who like egg her on, like these bots. I mean, they're not all bots. Some of them are just fucked up in the head. But like a lot of people who just like egg on these fucking like beefs where they don't really gotta be one. Like the first comment under a thing that's totally unrelated to like Nicki Minaj anything under like a Cardi B video be like some Nicki Minaj stan be like, you ain't queens better than anything you ever did in your life. Like shit like that.
I mean, what kind of loser is just such a fan of a person that all the time, all they do is tweet about this person, you know, post pictures. They're like not fans of people that they're like not cool with. You know, they're just like going on and on and on. Everything this person does is right. Like, what kind of lunatic would do something like that?
I could never
like,
sit across from a person like crazy. That. You know what I'm saying? I would have trouble looking that person in the eye.
Yeah, that is insane.
Whoopie scoop.
Hey, man. I don't know. I think the barbs don't help. And I don't think she has control of the barbs. No. Like, I think other people, you know, like, I think Beyonce can, like, put a fist up and then all the, like, beehive will, like, be quiet and be like, silence. Oh, our queen speaks. Like, I feel like Nicki Minaj, you know, like, the barbs love her, but then the barbs are kind of their own thing.
Yeah, they're kind of like that, like, local militia.
Yeah.
Who just kind of like, they got guns, and we don't know what the fuck they're going to do with them.
But, I mean, like, the way, like, them DMing Tracy Chapman.
Wait, what?
So, okay. So
Tracy Chapman is DMable?
So, there was a Tracy Chapman sample that was supposed to be on that Nas and Nicki Minaj song that didn't make the album because they couldn't clear the sample. And so the barbs were DMing her, please clear the sample so we could get the album. Like, that might not be helpful. She might not want that. And that might not be her account. That might be somebody else, you know, account.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Don't worry. The barbs are on the case.
The barbs are on the case. And that, I mean, I ain't, you know, I'm a Kanye fan, but I ain't never... You know, we ain't never been in the loop that much. You know, Kanye's never tweeted like, man, if only I could get this one sample cleared. Who knows what we would have done.
Yo, Teyana Taylor, we need some. Hey, get in Lauryn Hill's DMs right now. Like, first of all, she won't see those until next year.
Hey, man. I don't know. We got Hairline Gate.
Hairline Gate is, you know what? It's funny on the surface, but you know what? I see no problem with these dudes fixing their hairlines, man.
I don't see a problem with it. I feel like, you know, it's one of those things that it's like Tiger didn't have a hairline when he was 16. When he Coconut Juice Tiger had, you know what I'm saying? We was like, oh, he gonna be bald by the time he's 20. Like, this, he's 16? He done lived a life. You know what I'm saying? Like, Arms Race Remix Tiger, you know, his hairline went, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, oh, yeah, put some tats on my neck because the hair is gone.
You need to keep the eyes down here.
But so when she said that, it was like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. I do remember him having, you know, like a serious, you know, Vegeta Sinestro kind of thing going on, you know?
Oh, fuck.
But Tiger was just an innocent bystander. Yeah. He was just chilling, you know, and then
he felt like he was having a pretty good summer.
Yeah, he was having a good summer. Yeah. Taste, people like that song who hate Tiger, but they still like, I mean, Taste is all right.
Yeah.
Everything else, fuck with him, you know, like, yeah, you know, Kylie's grown, you know, that helps. She's 21 now.
Yeah.
Finally.
People seem to have like let that go.
Yeah. She already had a baby with Travis Scott, you know.
And then out of nowhere, like, check your phone. It's like,
yeah. He'll probably have some bars for it though, something clever.
I feel like it's a thing you could take and strike. Cause it didn't do damage. It was just funny. It was just things on funny that's funny on Twitter for like a day or so.
Also, he has braids now, which is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't see braids in the hair club commercials, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of taking it to the extreme. Like, I got my hairline fixed, but now I got like hang time and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
I'm
another level.
Higher than ever. I don't know, man. I feel like it's kind of hard to throw shade on a dude for fixing his hairline, to saying his hairline is manufactured when, you know, I don't know how much of Nicki Minaj is biodegradable or not.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
It's a double standard here.
What did you think of the album?
I never hear it.
You never heard Queen?
Nah, I heard like a few songs. I've been listening to Mitski.
I like Chun Sway. I mean, well, first of all, okay, I like Chun Sway. I like Barbie Dreams.
What about?
I like Ganja Burn. Ganja Burn. Ganja Burn. Yeah.
But I've heard more of that. That's probably the most I've heard is the Joe Budden Ganja Burn.
I enjoy all of those songs, but when that Ariana Grande dropped,
oh yeah, Rob
had
loves,
to stop. Oh
Rob
my God,
loves Sweeten It.
Yo, come on, man, no more tears left to cry, man. You already know that Ariana Grande. That's a classic. That might be better than Astro Mode. I don't know.
Really?
It's the album of the year.
I'm not gonna hold you to that because it just came out.
Twisted.
But by next episode, we're gonna have to do a new rankings and we will have to put Astro World up against Sweden and see what happens.
I don't know. It's a toss up, man. That come on, man. Successful. Come on, man.
I don't know, man. I'm still listening to La Flame every day. I'm not even like a big Travis Scott fan, but this album is like
You would think God is a woman.
All right.
Come on, man. Ariana Grande killed that. Yo, Pharrell and Ariana Grande, they did that thing. Nicki's on there, Missy's on there, you know.
I didn't know there was a Missy song.
I told you it was a Missy song. I'm telling you, yo, the Ariana Grande album was hard.
All right.
That Pete Davidson song will sneak up on you. You don't even know, you know. I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, I like this song. I'm about to share this on Instagram. Then I saw it was called Pete Davidson. I was like, all right, I'm going to chill. Yeah, she put together a good, she makes good music. She makes a good album. She's super talented. You know what I'm saying? We go back to Victorious, you know. Then after that, Sam and Cat, you smell me? But no. Like, I'm just saying, nah.
I mean, I don't watch those.
Okay. I'm just saying, yo, the Ariana Grande is popping. She, you know, they swapped it out. Nicki and Ariana Grande came out with songs, and she don't have a problem with Ariana Grande outselling her, which is gonna happen the next week. What's gonna happen next week.
Well, that's gonna be a destruction. But it's weird. She has a problem with Spotify and Spotify's connection with her label's connection with Ariana Grande, because apparently the label didn't want to defend her to Spotify because they didn't want Spotify to take in any promotion away from Ariana's album coming out the next week,
you can't get mad that you're not on these playlists and be like, but Drake's on the playlist, blah blah blah, because you're not Drake. And then you can't make that argument and then be like, Travis is cheating,
yeah,
because he bundled his album with merch, and then Travis did his merch with Virgil. You did your merch with Don C.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To reference the Charlamagne interview, it's all Donda, you know? Like, wait a minute. So you know what I'm saying? If you can't get Virgil, you're going to get Don C. That seems like that's kind of what it is right now. And that merch just came out of nowhere. Is that stuff bundled? I mean, I feel like Nicki Minaj, her strategy everything has been... not a strategy.
The Barbs are saying Travis's bundles counted, but her bundles didn't.
This rollout starts with what? What does this rollout start with?
The music. Oh, we're talking about like just like the like
the song with her and Wayne and Drake?
Oh, yeah.
That's what this rollout starts like over a year and a half ago. No frauds.
Damn, that's not on. No,
that's how far removed we are.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Like no frauds was supposed to be on this. And what was the other joint?
Chun Li's on it.
No, then later it was like, all right, we're gonna put out, you know, Motorsport and all that mess happened. And then we're gonna put out Chun Li and Barbie Tings. Barbie Tings didn't even make. You know, Barbie Tings has a video.
That came and went.
Yeah. So then those, that didn't even make the album. It's been crazy. There's been several dates. There've been several. You know, it's like there is no strategy.
I was like, besides the fact that it just feels like a tantrum, and not like a Kanye kind of like spur of like a lot of stuff. Because I feel like Kanye stuff, he like when he talks about numbers, he's not talking about necessarily like competing. He's talking about like levels of success. He's like weighing himself versus like anybody who doubts him.
Because he's like stuff, water.
All right, stop this. but with Nicki, it's just like you keep putting up. You like it's like the person who puts up pictures on a wall or like people who you think are in her way, and it's just like too many things and stuff don't even make sense anymore because now you're just competing with all these like things that almost feel like fabrications. Once it gets to a point when you bringing up the baby, when you bringing up Stormy, I'm like, okay, this has gotten out of hand.
Now Chris is invested. Yeah, no, that was crazy because I mean, you know, Kylie is a billionaire, but you know, I mean, okay, if the album wasn't popping, if Travis Scott's music wasn't popping, and they would have been like, "Come see us at the tour," there would have been a backlash. It would have been like, "Oh, you using this baby? Oh, we don't want to see this. This music is garbage." Astro Mode slap. You know what I'm saying? Like. I don't understand why, what is the issue, you know? But I think Nicki Minaj, I think it is a Kanye influence in the like, okay,
the ego?
Maybe I need the attention to get interest into the music, but it's not, that wasn't the initial plan. Because if that was the initial plan, we would have just, you know, it would have been like a whole bunch of stuff and then we would have got music. It wasn't like we got music and then the music didn't move like she wanted it to move. And now we got, you know, all these feuds and all this drama and all this stuff. And it's all with people who need that more than she does.
Yeah.
She's not going at, you know, I mean, you know, she's not going at the top of rap. She's going at people who are on Love and Hip Hop.
That's true. That's like where a lot of the clapbacks will come. Like,
yeah,
it's weird. It's like she'll pit herself up against like certain people who currently have a status in rap. You know, like Cardi and Travis. Like, arguably, you could say like the fans may be probably a different demographic that you might expect, but like they are as far like commercially. Seemingly at the fucking top of things.
Yeah, but they're like, but they haven't been out as long as her.
No.
And they, you know, they haven't been on top as long as her. And so she doesn't even have to, she doesn't have to do all the back and forth with them, you know? And I mean, there's several things happening. There's, you know, there's her personal life has been made a part of this whole persona. And it is a persona. You know, she, you know, Nicki Minaj, when you think about it, it is a character, it is a persona, you know, her, like it's all built on a heightened idea of who this rapper is. You know, it comes from an era that social media, you know, changed while Nicki Minaj was getting big.
Okay.
You know, like Twitter popped, you know, around the same time Nicki Minaj started to pop up. And it's kind of like, you know, it's not built for all the access. It's not, you know, it's a persona. It's a, you know, there's supposed to be some mystery. There's supposed to be some escape away and not be this character
too transparent
24/7. So now, you know, she's forced to be this person 24/7. And that might not have been the original plan. So now stuff like her relationship with Safari is out there. Her relationship with Meek is out there. The little stint with Nas is out there. And like people are asking her about it and why it's not reflected in the music. And that was never the plan.
I mean, it's kind of reflected in, what's that song, Barbie Dreams?
No, Barbie Dreams is like Dreams just playing by Biggie. Also, if you're out here saying that Just Playing was on Ready to Die, then you need to stop just streaming remastered versions of stuff and realize that that song was just a mixtape song, was not an album song, and they put that on stuff later. If you don't understand that, if you don't know, now you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, like, I'm tired of people saying, oh yeah, you know, like the Ready to Die track. Like, no, that was not on Biggie's first album. You have to have status before you make crazy claims like that and nothing comes back to you.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Like he talked about Raven Simone while she was on Hanging with Mr. Cooper. She was a little girl. You know what I'm saying? He said, I'd rather have sex with RuPaul than them ugly escape girls. Like, he said stuff far worse than what Nicki said. Nicki, like Barbie Dreams was light. You know what I'm saying? It's Barbie Dreams. It's not Dreams. It's child's play.
But even though there was, like, a lot of it was...
It's a joke. Like, it's funny. It's a joke. I'm just playing.
But then I feel like once that joke started to play out on stuff like Twitter, then it just then it got away from, because now you're engaging, like, usually like trying to explain your joke, and that never works.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, if you're gonna make a song like that, you need to have, like, you know, it's kind of like one of those MC things where you got to be in a place where nobody's gonna check you. You know, maybe you play it for the people that you talk about or whatever. And, like, maybe, like, you know, like Meek.
Yeah, and then you record the phone call.
Meek was like, oh, I got caught, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, people, you don't want people to play you and you're making a joke. You know, you gotta be, I mean, she has songs with Eminem. It's supposed to be like an Eminem kind of humor.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
But, like, Eminem makes a joke. Nobody's doing shit.
I mean, people used to be mad, but they couldn't do nothing.
Yeah.
They wasn't gonna say nothing to Eminem. You know, Fred Durst wasn't gonna run up on Eminem. He just maybe didn't dap him at the VMAs.
That's it, though.
By the way, we're recording this before the VMAs, so if something crazy happens at the VMAs, I doubt, like, it. It's on a Monday, but we're gonna miss it.
All right. I mean, I feel like probably the most problematic thing, you know, I don't even know if she spoke to him about this, but I feel like there's a shot at Designer that was... that was probably a little unwarranted.
What'd she say about Designer?
I think she said he made out of special ed or something like that. Which... Designer has made great strides. Just because Designer talks like a rejected Hey Arnold character does not mean.
I was just saying, move from my head, because, you know, as if that me and Gerald got me a hot top head. I was like,
jokes or no jokes, I feel like we got Designer's back.
Yeah, we always got Designer's back. We just playing. I'm just saying.
You playing.
All right, we got to talk about the most important thing that happened, you know, since our last episode. Rihanna took a picture with Childish Gambino. Yo. Your man Donald Glover was posing extra hard. Like, okay, normally he outcools other celebrities, but he was definitely getting his, like, oh, I'm Childish Gambino in this picture. Like, I don't know what he was doing with his arms. He had some kind of, like,
it's like weird
Arnold
flex.
Schwarzenegger Olympian kind of, you know, pose going on. Meanwhile, Rihanna's got the face looking like, I'm standing with this fool from Community. Like, she's giving the goofiest.
She kind of got the best.
Look at this clown.
Rihanna has the best unbothered look you've ever seen. She's like,
yo, you can't outcool Rihanna. I don't care. You having the best year ever. Yes, you was in a Star Wars movie. Yes, you know, you had everybody messing with you with your shirt off and whatnot. You got 16 Emmy noms. but Rihanna still looking like, yo, look,
it's Troy.
It's Troy. Oh man, where I bet man. At?
This fool forgot I bet.
Oh man, no. Seriously, the most important thing that happened is at 2 Chainz' wedding.
Oh yeah,
Kanye wore some slides. I didn't have a problem with it.
All right. After much reflection, the problem. No, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, the slides. I get it. Kanye go do what Kanye go do.
You in Miami? You got in a leather suit. Oh, and y'all crazy people talking about Kanye stealing from Jay-Z with the suit on chest. Y'all need to type in Google Kanye images 2010, and you will see plenty of images of Kanye wearing a suit on chest.
That's kind
of. I want to hear that.
That might have been what bothered me, but the suit was nice.
The suit was crazy.
The suit was so nice.
It was leather with some kind of green color. It had LV monogram embroidery all over it. And it's a one button suit on some like tuxedo type stuff.
But then you go
on chest.
But then you go down in those slides.
Those, easy slides.
Those, they look like life rafts with a strap on them.
You're not gonna try to roast the slides.
What? First of all,
you're not gonna try to roast the slides.
Come on.
The slides are hard.
Slides with socks.
Now, well, you wear slides with socks. They not thong sandals. They slides.
Okay, but why are you? All right, listen.
Where you slide in?
You slide.
You ever seen Risky Business?
You slide.
He's sliding in socks. They call slides.
You slide to go get groceries out the car for your mom with slides and socks. You know, this is for like, I'm probably going like walking to the mailbox.
They in Miami.
It's even worse.
They might be some beach time. You take your socks off, boom, you beach ready. You know what I'm saying? You don't know where y'all going.
All right.
I live in Calabasas. I don't live around here.
Whose fault do you think it was?
I'm new here.
That the slides didn't even fit his own feet.
That's what makes it harder.
No, don't make it harder.
That's what makes it harder. I think they was Kim's slides.
You can, if you look closely, you can see his heels screaming for help, just hanging on the side like Mufasa.
Yes, but that's so you don't trip. Have you ever walked in slides
oh
and then your
God.
Slide, you know what I'm saying? That's why you get it a little size smaller. That way you make sure that you're not moving around too much in the slide.
What do you think he said to Lil Wayne when he gave him the plate?
What he said to Lil Wayne? Like, man, good to see you, man. You know what I'm saying? When's
like,
the last time you seen Wayne in a suit?
Never.
Maybe around the like leather so soft era. Lollipop.
Swagger like
Lollipop, he got on a big old baggy suit.
Yeah. No, wait, did he have a suit when he did Swagger Like Us? Was live
Swagger Like Us at the Grammys.
They all had a suit on. Yeah.
They all had suits on, but Wayne probably had a, you know what I'm saying?
His was like rolled up or something. He had
yeah,
some shit going
yeah,
on. I remember.
Yeah.
I think he had a backpack on too. It was weird.
Yeah, he had on a sequence jacket.
That was such a great performance.
Yeah, man.
Would have been way worse if he was wearing slides.
Yeah, we thought we'd never see T.I. again. That was T.I.'s last
I forgot about that.
Tune in after the break for T.I.'s last performance before he goes to jail. Like, man, why
yeah,
not?
M.I.A. is pregnant. Isn't
yeah.
put out all the stops to
yeah.
this.
We might never see this combination again. No one on the corner.
All right. You know what? Maybe if it's my wedding, if you show up with the slides, you know, we're going to have to send somebody out to get some shoes for
you. Are you serious?
Yes, man. You're not wearing that shit to my wedding.
If you get married in Miami and I got a leather suit on. If you got a leather suit on, you can do whatever you want. And nobody cares about your shoes. You got on a leather suit.
You already know if I get married, I already got operatives on the ground following Rob. What is he doing? What is he wearing? What stores is he going to? I need to make sure he's not... He's like,
I'm getting those slides. Now, if I wear slides to your wedding, I'm getting the Yeezy slides. So that's just going to let you know, oh, he could have afforded shoes. Exactly. Yeezy slides are like $130.
Yeah.
Like, those are Stacey Adams prices. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could get any square toes for that price, but it's like, no, I'm not. I'm wearing the Yeezy slides.
But he definitely planned it because it's too coordinated with the suit.
It looked dope. It looked dope.
To you.
It looked dope to a human eye.
To me, it's unacceptable. Almost as unacceptable as...
Broaden your horizons. Now, if there were some Nike slides, yeah, that would have been unacceptable. But Yeezy slides and you Yeezy? You Yeezy. What you supposed to wear? I mean, he does make Chelsea boots, but it's summertime. It's too hot for Chelsea boots. You in Miami.
You think Virgil was like, okay, and I got these shoes too. And Kanye was like, nah, man.
He couldn't do that.
What do you mean?
Cause LV, he made, you know, come on, man. What? He already made a shoe with LV. If he would have did some white Mr. Hudson's, that would have been hard. That would have been hard.
It's great. It's more great ideas, man. Like everything already Trump slides already down.
Hey, man, we don't use the T word on this podcast.
Oh. We say 45. Okay. Speaking of 45, you know, I feel like there's more Kanye news that we haven't gotten to.
Nah, I think that's it.
Are we going to talk about it? Or are we not talking about it?
Well, let's talk about it, man.
All right, let's start at the top then.
Okay.
I feel like there was a good mix of ideals and Jimmy trying to like egg Kanye to get more into, you know, reality and policy, and Kanye really want to go there. Some stuff was interesting to me. You know, once you go off, when he talks about like, do you regret certain things you say and stuff like that? And he's kind of says something he says a lot. Like, I feel like we focus too much on the past. And I feel like, you know, we teach things like history, but like, you know, in schools, I've never heard of classes where, you know, they teach you, you know, how to balance a budget or how to plan for the future, or just teach a future class, which sounds deep when Kanye says it, but is possibly some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
How's that dumb? How's that dumb? Why are we learning about history and we don't know about the future? Which way are we headed? To the past or to the future?
How are you gonna know where you're headed if you don't know where you've been?
Come on, man. Get out of here with those.
First of all, a class about teaching you how to balance a budget is literally just home ec.
All right. Does everybody take home ec?
That's a good question.
What do y'all do in home ec? Sometimes I ain't never been in a home ec class and they, well, I ain't never been in a home ec class. And that's the problem. That's what Kanye's getting at. The fact that I've never been in a home ec class.
He's got a problem with electives.
But some people, you take home economics, y'all making brownies. Y'all ain't out here balancing checkbooks. So there's no class about taxes.
Okay, so it's
you learning the quadratic equation.
Let's double up the ideals then.
Shout out to everybody that uses the quadratic equation in your real life.
What is the quadratic equation?
Come on, man. A squared plus B squared, ain't that one?
A squared
equals C squared
plus B squared.
Come on, man. I've never pulled up to a venue and they've been like, all right. Now, if you do A squared jokes and B squared jokes, you need to be off the stage by the time C squared comes around. That don't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man.
You got beef with the education system?
I'm saying you saying it's the dumbest thing you ever heard.
Bro, what is future class?
What do you mean, what is future
class? What is future class?
Yo, the man.
You mean science class?
No.
Math class?
No, not science fiction, dog. Future class.
I didn't say science fiction.
No. Clearly a class that prepares you for the future, man. You know what I'm saying?
Here is the syllabus, the future class. La-di-da-di-da. That's how the fucking class starts.
No, not that future, dog. Not Dirty Sprite, the class. No, man. Get out of here, bro. Listen to the kids, bro. Come on, man.
All right, Kanye. If you can talk to Trump, talk to Betsy DeVos. Like, yo, everybody got to have home ec class. Everybody got to learn how to balance a budget.
That should be. I promise school. I promise to teach these kids how to balance a budget. It should be there. I don't understand why that's the dumbest thing you ever heard. You just mad at Ye right now. So you don't want to hear good ideas from a genius.
That's not a good idea.
That's a great idea. You're right.
Our military budget is over $700 billion. We could use more in education.
Yeah. Like future class. What are you talking about? Come on, man. This is an insult. I went to junior high with all of them, and they've been slow. Come on, man.
All right, what's the next part of the interview? What's something else that caught your ear?
I think that Kanye clearly, you know, said what he had to say during the commercial break. Unfortunately, due to capitalism, doing the people, you know, trying to advertise to us all the time, we miss Kanye's response to the question. The question was answered. They cut it out.
This is the theory we're going with? Okay.
I mean, it's that's clear.
I am on the side of people who say, one, while I would have appreciated an answer, I'm not sure that was the venue to answer that question.
Why not?
I think I could tell that Kanye did take the question seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't try to, like, go in. He actually, like, sat and thought. And Jimmy Kimmel came. He explained. He was like, we were already over time. I had to go to commercial. The pause was a little long enough where I was like, okay, this is a good point to go to commercial. Then you go to commercial. Then you come back. Kanye, as we all know, when he's on television or pretty much if he wants to say something or address something, he will say it or address it. So whether or not, I don't think Jimmy Kimmel's saying like, we're just going to like let that go because we're not going to have you come back to that. Oh, I feel like Kanye probably was like, I don't want to answer that right now. It's probably not the venue. And they let it go. That's fine. I do appreciate the answer, you know, for some regard on that. Because I feel like Charlamagne kind of asked him a similar question and he kind of died. You know, kind of dodge it too, because you kind of go back to this whole, well, I only like dude because of what he represents. Policy and all that stuff has no real, you know, interest to him. He's just like trying to like, he's just trying not to be influenced by liberals and media and other black celebrities and stuff like that. Some of that sounds like he's like those dudes who like, I'm trying to own the libs and shit like that. Some of it sounds, it's just vintage Kanye because he just go do what he wants to do. And the more you kind of push, the more he's going to push back. That's all like vintage Kanye. And the more he's going to stand firm in that sense. But at the same time, is that really like purely you coming up with like an exactly like an original, you know, thought of a sense? Or is that just pushback? At which point is it just like...
It's free thinking, man.
Is it free thinking?
It's free thinking,
or
man.
Did he push you in a corner? Was it
love
too many?
Love everyone. Everything is love, man.
This is a good album.
It's all right. That Friends track is whack. But don't worry, Hov. I will see you this Saturday, buddy.
I don't know, man. Some stuff irks me. I don't like how he constantly tries to act like all black people are like this monolith. Because I mean, like,
he doesn't agree with that.
He doesn't. Well, he says that we're supposed to be, or too many people are, and that's what he's pushing against. But like, we disagree with shit all the time, Trump included.
That's true, but there is a you know, it's like a thing that like people are fighting against, but there are people who embrace the idea of the monolith. Not in those words, because it seems like the only time people use the word monolith is to talk about black people being or not being a monolith. But it seems like sometimes some of the things that I see on Twitter, especially with Black Twitter, kind of embraces that idea, whether you like it or not. And I think that, like, this general consensus, I think that the people, when people refer to him, it's definitely in a mindset of, you know why we have a problem with Kanye. You know why we don't like Kanye. Blah, blah, blah. You know why Kanye pissed us off.
Yeah, but even we've done it on here. We talk about, like, all this, like, the cancel culture, shit like that, when people just like, oh, he didn't put on a hat, or he didn't, we can't listen to the music anymore. We can't talk about it. He just done.
Mm-hmm.
We both hate those people, or we just disagree with that mindset.
Yeah. I actually was honestly, the Jimmy Kimmel interview just kind of irked me, and it was like, it was the first time where I felt like I ain't really want to deal with this whole Kanye thing. Like, it was just like, it just made it, because, like, I think all the other stuff, we were in it and it was going on, and it was like, you know, we'll see what the full picture is. We'll see what, you know, wait till the album comes out. Wait till the music comes out. Wait till we have a full picture. And now it's just like, I think this is really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been in, like, kind of denial for so long, or thinking that it was something else for so long.
Wishing it was something else.
Wishing it was something else. Wishing it was in line with what we originally, you know, were fans of. Wishing it was in line with what we originally, who we originally thought this person was.
That's very true. And I think some of it, because even I have, like, I get kind of combatant with the ideas of time, because I'm just like, I don't get it. I ask why, and, like, there is no real answer that seems satisfying enough or makes sense. But then you realize, like, you can't really, like, argue with any of the position, because I feel like when he talks in, like, contradictions, which everybody has contradictions, but Kanye sometimes, you know, they kind of take too many leaps for me. Because this is somebody who's previously stated, he's been more open about mental illness, both, like, largely regarding himself. But when he says things like, you know, I don't go to therapy, like, the world's my therapist, you know, I don't, like, the medications, they would kind of hinder his brilliance. And, you know, he's like, I don't want to depend on that. I don't want to get addicted to that kind of stuff. I don't want that to affect me that much. So he limits medication. He doesn't go to therapy. And then in this interview, he talks like, you know, we need to have more conversation about mental health, especially amongst Black people, which is such a true thing. It's such a thing that, like, man, you could champion that. But then on the other side, you kind of have, like, which is it? Like, are we just going to be aware? It's like, he says, like, I want everybody to have a different view of how we look at mental health. You know, he wants everybody to be able to go on these highs that he goes on and be okay. But then I'm like, hold up. The reason Kanye West is, like, when Kanye goes to TMZ and goes crazy, and some people, like, crazy is the wrong word, but when he's that, you know, that much of a high, that kind of manic in a sense, he's Kanye, so he's afforded the chance to do that, and, you know, you don't have to really suffer any consequences. You can still move about because you are a genius. You still get to do that. And people are like, man, that was, what a Kanye moment that was. But then you get to go back and make shoes, and you get this, you go to this house in Calabasas, you have this family, you have all these, you know, things that you've earned. Whereas somebody else, you're not afforded that, you know, because you're just a regular person. So it's not the same. And I don't even know where to put that. That would take more thought, more discussion. But I think that, I don't know if people use the word disconnect a lot, and I'm not sure, like, because I feel like in some ways he wants to be more connected than ever. But
yeah, but he doesn't want to, like, I think part of being connected and part of, you know, if we're going to have this cancel culture, we need to have, you know, when people are held accountable, we need to, you know, they need to be able to say, I was wrong, I apologize, or I didn't consider, you know, the whole thing. I didn't really, and then people need to accept that as well, or else the whole thing is not, it's not going to work, you know?
Yeah, I see that. I see that happening pretty regularly now. But that's like a reflection. Like, remember, like when they made our modern prison system, it was supposed to be called correctional facility. So it's supposed to be you would go in, you would do your time. While you're doing your time, you would work to be, you know, betterment as a better person. You would come out and then you would serve society again as a better person. That's not the case at all. And I feel like what happens here is, you know, we try people publicly, and not to say that they're suffering, I'm not saying that people are necessarily suffering to the point of total harm or anything, but I'm saying that how we handle certain cases where people, you know, might act a fool, or might people, you know, receive harsh criticism and judgment, I think that there should be room for growth and change. And I don't think cancel culture should really be a thing. I don't think people owe you anything, but I think that, you know, it does a disservice to just, like, I don't know, kind of a human condition to just be like, I'm done and I will not deal with the complexity of any of this.
Yeah. No, I think that's well said, you know. And I think that, you know, it's tough when you're having this difficult conversation about, you know, and it's on so many levels, and it's in a space that's, you know, traditionally pre-interview, funny story that takes a turn, you know, like Jimmy Kimmel's not, you know, like late night, they're trying to have a moment. So they'll accept something that's unorthodox, and it kind of speaks to the tradition of, you know, Jack Parr and like way back before Johnny Carson, kind of what late night was. But that's kind of not what's going on. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where they're going to accept it, they're going to allow it. And, you know, maybe that wasn't the best place to have that conversation. And it's hard to have that conversation when, you know, people come to your home city and try to throw shots at you, you know, in concert, and you got to deal with that at the same time. You know, you're just trying to put your slides on.
Some people
and
are
see your friend
over stripe.
Go to a wedding, and then you got these people out here messing up Quentin Miller's words like that. Like, this man, when he said Kanye dropped it was polos and backpacks, that Quentin wrote that. Why are you messing up Quentin's words? I don't understand.
You sure you want to do this right
Come
now?
Come on, man.
Have you seen Drake?
The song's called Know Yourself. Know Yourself, okay? If you're going to take a shot on a song that you wrote, or we don't know who wrote. Don't mess up my man Quentin's words. You know what I'm saying? Quentin felt that. When Kanye dropped, Quentin had on a polo. Quentin had a backpack. You know what I'm saying? When Kanye flopped, it was polos and backpacks. That don't even make sense. It don't even make sense.
Flip, flip, flop, slides. It's all connected.
Come on, man. Also, hey, whoever works at that Adidas store and they played Sicko Mode, you tripping. All right? You got, hey, y'all need to do better.
That's how good Astroworld is.
That's how good Sicko Mode is. They was like, I know, hey, just put it in the playlist.
It needs to be done, okay? Can't get around this. Here's what I'm like, you know what? I'm going to turn it down as soon as the line comes up. Don't worry, I'll be ready every time.
That's what happens when you use Pandora, when you don't make your own playlist.
They got it. Yeah, they definitely got a Pandora station.
I'm talking about somebody recorded the Checks Over Stripes part. It would have been hard if they would have blipped it out. If it was, that's what I like. It would have been like, oh, Red Adidas is on it. Nope.
Well, anything else?
Hey, man. A million pairs of cream whites come out.
When?
In the middle of September.
I got money then.
Yeah. So if you wanted a pair of Yeezys and you wanted that money to go to, you know, actually Kanye, not, you know, some reseller or something, you want to support the compound, the Yeezy compound, you want to support great ideas, put your money together and get them cream whites, man. They're going to get dirty, but it's okay.
That's not okay.
That is okay. Draw on them. Do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Personalize them. Make them your own. Write your name on them.
More importantly, Flogna sold out. So if anybody has any line on tickets, link us up.
I'm going to be in Los Angeles at the time of Camp Flogna. So, yeah, if anybody knows Felicia the Goat or Taco or Jasper or Earl or anybody. If you know anybody, you know the carnival.
You know,
man,
Lauren, you know, Hill's the pianist.
Yeah, if you know anybody, holler at me because I need to be there.
All right, man.
I need to hum with Cuddy. Let Rob hum with Cuddy, man.
I thought you was gonna hum. All right, everybody, that's been the latest episode of Bookie A Podcast. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.